Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. We have a special funny guest with us today that I have known for over two decades now. Chris Womack, a man of many talents who has been making people laugh both in and out of the classroom for over 30 years. Chris is not your typical comedian. By day, he's a kinesiology professor at James Madison University, shaping the minds of students. But by night, he takes the stage to deliver side-splitting laughter that keeps audiences coming back for more. Since 2021, he regularly hosts and performs for X2 comedy shows. What sets Chris apart is his willingness to adventure into the unexpected, as demonstrated by his performances in the unique annual Cave Comedy Fest at Melrose Caverns in 2022 and 2023, where X2 Comedy showcased its talent inside an actual cave. Recently, he clinched a comedy competition victory for a streaming comedy show filmed in Maryland, an accomplishment that X2 Comedy will formally announce once it's officially released online. Welcome to the show, Chris. It's great to have you on today.
Thanks so much for having me. This is awesome.
I know. It's not every day.
The commute kind of killed me to get here, but it was well worth it.
Laughers, I don't think it's every day that you have a husband and wife comic duo, and that is what we are.
That's right. There's not many of us out there.
There is not. And this is exciting to me because you started in 2021, mm-hmm. and the last time that you were on this podcast, you were on with a panel of comedians, and you had essentially just started.
No, the last time I was on, we did like a little podcast about X2 comedy and
that's right.
Like what our brand of comedy was and that type of thing.
Oh, that's right. That's been a minute.
Yes, but it's still been a long time.
That has. But that was more about what X2 comedy is about, right, versus your personal journey as a comedian.
Right.
And when you were talking about that the last time you were on here, I think you maybe had done a show or two.
Maybe one. Maybe. Well, maybe two or three, including open mics. Yeah.
And a lot has happened since then.
Yeah, I had 5 minutes of material.
Yes. And you have come a long way.
That I would just repeat over and over and over and over.
I think because of that and what we've experienced in your basic 2 years of comedy, mm-hmm. doing it together, that this is going to be a blast today.
Yeah.
To talk about this with the laughers, sharing your journey and how you balance academia with comedy, and let's try to uncover the secrets to your success. What do you say?
Wow. Okay. Let's do that.
Okay. Let's do it. I have a question. My first question for you is, can you share your journey from being a kinesiology professor to venturing into the world of comedy? What inspired this transition?
Wow. Well, I guess I could go way back, and I have always loved stand-up comedy, and I mean loved it. Like when I was a kid, if there was a stand-up comedian on TV somehow or something like that, I would pay attention. And I would get comedy albums for everybody 40 and under out there. They would sell comedy albums. So, you know, you go to a record store, there would be a comedy section, a stand-up comedy section.
That's right.
And matter of fact, that's how the top comedians, that's the only way you'd hear them. You know, mm-hmm. when we were kids, you remember this, there was before we were in high school or something, there was no HBO. Mm-mm. You know, they started doing
that. No streaming.
They started doing that when we were teenagers.
Right.
But coming up, you know, the only way you knew what a comedian looked like is when they were on The Tonight Show.
Right.
And from their album cover.
Yep.
And so, my gosh, I had, you know, Robin Williams, I had Richard Pryor, I had Eddie Murphy, I had a ton of Bill Cosby. That didn't age well, but still, I mean, I was one of the only kids, teenagers, with as many comedy albums as rock and roll albums. And then just that kind of love of it continued. I just loved it. And then you started.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm obviously at most, if not all of your shows.
Right.
Including some open mics. And I would typically sit there at the open mics and think, oh, I should give this a try someday. And as you know, I kept on threatening to do it.
Threatening for quite a while.
Yeah, for years, plural. I would tell you, you know, on occasion, yeah, I'm going to try this. And I would tell Christopher Cabral, I mean, Cantrell. Not Cabral, I'm sorry, I'm mixing up my Christophers. Christopher Cantrell, shout out Christopher, who used to run an open mic around here. You know, I would tell him, oh man, I'm going to get up there. And he would be very encouraging. And both of you, I think, got tired of hearing me doing that and crying wolf.
Yes, exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. Right there.
And then May of 2021, I was making a lot of necessary life changes. Won't go into the details, but I basically had to get better mentally, emotionally, spiritually, a lot of different ways. And part of that is I realized that I never, ever, ever, I would let fear and I would let fear of failure get in the way of things I wanted to do my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, I've just wanted to do this. So, well, you remember this, we were sitting on our deck.
Yes.
You had an open mic coming up and, I said I wanted to do the open mic that Thursday. It was Thursday, right? It was a Thursday, and I think we were sitting out on the deck on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And I asked you for help getting my first 5-minute set together, and you said you'd be glad to help me, but you were skeptical that I was going to do it.
We had seen this rodeo show before.
We had, and but I did get that 5-minute set together, and I practiced, and then the big day came and I did it. And I found out later you weren't even believing that I was still going to do it. Even when we walked up to the Three Brothers Brothers Craft, where they had the open mic that Christopher was running, but I did it. And, you know, for a first time at an open mic, it went well and I got a lot of good feedback. It was so fun. And, I thought it was going to be a bucket list thing that I just said, yeah, man, good for you. You did that. And that's really all I was expecting. And then a few days later, you asked me if I would do, you said, if you put me on the next X2 show, would I be willing to do that same 5 minutes exactly how I did it before? You were very specific and you did not want me doing any other new material or taking risk or doing crowd work or anything that was made crystal
clear. Yes, crystal.
And I did that and you kept putting me up and you kept putting me up, and to this day, and you haven't stopped.
No.
2 years and 4 months later, and here we are.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And for laughers that may not be familiar with X2 Comedy beyond what is shared in the introduction of this show, in the outro, and you've not been to an X2 Comedy show yet, X2 Comedy shows are based out of Harrisonburg, Rockingham, here in the Shenandoah Valley, and we do pop-up cleanish comedy shows. They're rated PG-13, and I am the producer of those comedy shows.
Yep, so I guess the summary is how I got into comedy is I started sleeping with the producer.
But you know how I am. I wouldn't put you up if you weren't funny.
No.
No. And there's a method to the madness with the brand new comics going on paid shows. There is the tendency, or sometimes we see a brand new comic get their first opportunity to do that, and then they're going off script trying a brand new 5 minutes or whatever. Not the tape that they sent the producer and that type of thing. So
yeah,
it doesn't
all
happen
of us when we start. If it starts well, we think we're
we're
Matt Rife. Yeah. We think we're ready for our first special.
Yeah, and the money's just gonna come.
Go, yeah. It's just a matter of time. Yeah, I've got this. I'm clearly a natural. Don't interrupt my creative process.
It's all okay. It's all good. It's part of the journey. And you learn along the way as you meet other more seasoned comedians and people in the industry. You stay in it long enough and stay in the game long enough, you figure all of that out.
Yeah, I'm still very much figuring a lot of things out.
So, yes. And you balance a teaching career with comedy, which I imagine can be challenging. How do you manage your time and energy effectively?
That's a leading question. I'm not so sure I do. I'm trying to figure that out, actually, just to be real. Early on, like I would say the first year and a half that I was doing stand-up with you, it was kind of easy to manage effectively because, you know, shows are on weekends and I wasn't up for long, you know, I was up doing like 5 minutes or whatever. And a lot of my, you know, so I was clearly writing, I was spending some time at it, but it really, my memory, at least I don't really ever recall it taking all that much time. You know, we'd go to the odd open mic or something, during the week while I was in school, you know, teaching and, but last summer, you and I, you know, we kind of decided, hey, we're going to get after this. We want to get better. Mm-hmm. We both decided we wanted to get better. And so, man, we were road warriors. Well, at least for us, there's people who do a lot more.
A lot more of that.
But, you know, we were going to Roanoke regularly for an open mic. We were going up to Northern Virginia for an open mic. We were going to Charlottesville every week. We were hitting the Brothers Craft open mic every time Travis was having that. Shout out to Travis here in town. We were really working at it. And what I'm struggling with at the moment is I loved doing that. I loved getting better. I love comedy. But now I have... It's summer's over and I'm back to school, so to speak. And I am 56 years old and driving to Charlottesville to do 5 minutes, maybe, and getting home at midnight and getting up at five the next morning is really a bit much. So I'm trying to figure out how to do it effectively.
And we were doing all of that between several paid shows.
Yeah, we had a lot of paid shows over the summer, and they were great shows. And I got to do some longer sets over the summer. So it was just like going to comedy camp this summer. It was wonderful, and I miss it. I'm in process with that question.
Figure out what it looks like during... the academic year.
Yeah. The first month of this semester, the answer to that question is, oh, I don't do it unless we're doing X2 comedy.
or basement comics.
Basement comics is a godsend. It's in our house. It's on a Friday evening. Right. It's a workshop, you know, that we do
for local comics.
Mm-hmm. And we come over and it's, in my opinion, it's better than an open mic because you do your set and then you get feedback from other comics as to what they think's working, what's not working, what a good punch up. You know, I've gotten great punch ups.
Me too.
From Basement Comics. So that's been amazing. So other than the X2 shows and Basement Comics, I really haven't done any open mics, any shows out of town since the semester started. And I think that needs to change, but I'm just trying to figure out how and the best way to do that. And fortunately, though, this month, oh, I shouldn't say that. This month, thanks to Travis Valle, we've had like a bunch of open mics in town. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten up
more
during
than
the week.
We would have this time
so
last
that's,
year.
Maybe locally. That maybe that trend will continue and that'll be my answer to that question. So that's my long rambling way of saying I'm not managing it effectively and I don't know and I'm free and open to suggestions.
I appreciate your honesty. Yeah. And it's just one semester. It's just 1 month into the semester.
That's right. And I think every semester you get what's weird about academia is every semester's got its own flavor, its own schedule, its own rhythm, and you kind of adapt to that. And I'm kind of getting into that now. And so then you figure out what you can and can't do, you know, and so we take it from there.
And we shall.
Yeah.
You have had a tremendous experience. We both have performing inside the cave at Melrose Caverns for Cave Comedy Fest. Can you tell us about your experience? What was it like, and how did the audience react to such a unique venue?
My experience were those two Cave Comedy Fests are some of the highlight shows of my brief time in comedy. It just was fantastic. So my experience is, number one, the audiences were
amazing
for mm-hmm. every single show. I guess we had four shows the first year and two shows last year or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was only in one show last year, but it doesn't matter. The overall thing is that every single one of them, the crowd was incredible.
They're amazing.
Helps that the laughter echoes inside the cave. Feel like you're doing really great. You know, but everybody did do really great. So that didn't matter, but that helps. And it's just so unique and so fun. And it helps that, I mean, you know, everybody just, I mean, that kind of energy just feeds the crowd is ready, that, you know, that helps the comics who are already excited to be in, you know. So you've always done great at that. And then our headliners, my gosh, Lachlan Patterson, the first year, just watching him work.
Yes.
And be working.
It was a masterclass.
It was a masterclass mm-hmm. in comedy.
Yes.
And then he is one of the best people you will ever meet.
Yes.
And a lot of comics, and this is not a diss, it's not an insult to other comics, but a lot of comics come in and they're friendly and you love them and you get to know them, but they're just doing their thing and you're doing your thing and you all have a good time. But Lachlan took the time to give us both tips and pointers and encouragement and feedback. He was so amazing. That was just like going to a comedy school for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was an unexpected benefit. And then our headliner this past summer, you know, Winston Hodges, he's one of my favorite comics.
Absolutely, me too.
Not only comics that we bring in for X2, but just comics in general. And I feel like I always introduce him like that whenever I introduce him. And, you know, he, I just love watching him do his crowd work. And,
oh,
that was just, that just,
that's another masterclass.
That is a masterclass. Although, you know, I am taking baby steps in crowd work. You know, I was telling our friend Bill Baranke, who headlined for us last weekend, that if crowd work were if you were going to equate it to hitting a baseball, I can't go into the batting cage. I need the ball placed on a tee. and then I can hit it. That's how I am with crowd work. So when I see Winston, it's hilarious and it's inspirational, but I never look at him and think like, oh, I can do something like that next week. You know, he's so far advanced in that particular aspect of comedy. It's just like, yeah. It's,
what am I watching right now?
Yeah,
I love
it's a whole nother thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really incredible. We've seen him on more than one occasion come in and do 45 minutes straight of crowd work, like he's rolling off a log.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, my crowd work is like, so are you from here? You're from Ohio. Get out of here. That's crazy.
There's four letters in that state, right?
Who else is from a four-letter state?
It's so true. We just keep bringing in some incredible headliners. Shout out,
props to you. You're the ones who finds them, somehow gets them here, you know.
I know. Lachlan actually lives out in LA,
Venice Beach.
Mm-hmm.
You got a guy to come from Venice Beach and perform in a cave.
Yeah.
That's like a reality show challenge.
True. And he's from Canada, so he performs internationally with his connections.
A former Canadian college basketball player.
Yes.
Who's a comedian in Venice Beach, California. And you had him in a cave. That's like something I dreamt.
You know, some comedy just writes itself.
That's right.
You have also recently won a comedy competition, and that is a significant achievement. I was there to see it myself. It was glorious. Could you walk us through your preparation and how it felt to come out on top?
Yeah.
I'm laughing because I had a front row seat to all of this.
Walk you
laughers.
Through my preparation. I'm going to be painfully honest here as well. Okay. So I can't say too much about the competition because I don't want to give away what the competition was.
Right. Because you can't it's not, do that quite yet.
Yeah.
But we will announce it.
We will announce it when that's released to the public.
Right.
But let's just suffice it to say, I was asked to be in this competition. I said yes. And then when the fateful day arrived, we had to drive up to the Baltimore, D.C.
area.
Well, not Baltimore, DMV. Mm-hmm. We had to drive up there. And I didn't want to go because, number one, I thought I was just going to get killed. You know, I felt like there's no way I'm winning this thing. I didn't see you do a short set for this competition. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I'm driving up there to do a short set. And then we're driving all the way back, you know, after I invariably lose the competition. And people, I do my share of negative self-talk, but I don't do, I mean, I really legitimately thought that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see how it was going to be a positive thing. I was like, I can drive a shorter distance sometime this week and do an open mic and do the same set. What am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I went up is I had promised the person who puts on the show that I'd do it, and awesome person. And I don't want to, and I even asked you as a producer, I was like, what would you say if you know, somebody in this scenario ducked out like with a week, you know, because he's got a lot of connections to come, and you were like, I would think that's a pain and I would never put you up again or something like that. Yeah. I was like, point taken. So I went.
Hardcore producer.
Here's something funny. They asked me to bring a change of clothes in case I won my
All
round
right,
because...
Yeah.
The way this works, they do a lot of rounds, and the rounds are typically filmed on separate occasions, and then they have a championship round. But they film the championship round the same day they film
the final round,
and I was in the final round. So they said, hey, bring a change of clothes in case you win. I remember being about 30 minutes down the road and thinking, ah, crap, I didn't bring a change of clothes, but then thinking, that doesn't matter.
Yep.
And so... I had practiced a short set I was relatively happy with. And that was my preparation. And I got up there and I don't know. I think there was something in the, when you are pretty convinced you're not going to win something,
mm-hmm.
there's really no nervousness. There's no anxiety. There's no...
You're like, just
you felt
do
a little
this.
Bit of a buzz because you're going up in front of a room full of people and they're filming it, but you just, I swear that attitude might have been, there you go, there's a preparation tip. Pretend like you're not going to win because I really believed I wasn't going to. And then, boom,
yeah, I did.
And then I knew how I was facing in the championship round. Mm-hmm. And those are literally some people that I would be like, I still don't think I'm anywhere close to those guys. Mm-hmm. And I can't get into the details of why I think I won or why, you know,
mm-hmm.
because again, it would give away the show, I think.
Right.
Or, you know, I don't want to come close to giving away the show. But it was the same attitude.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that was so cool to win that round. But no way, I'm in third place. I know comedy. I know me. I know these guys. I am not winning this. So again, it probably helped that I was just able to go out and...
Maybe it was the lucky shirt.
Yeah, I think it was a lucky shirt. And people who are going to watch all the episodes are going to think this guy's got one outfit. So... So there we go. There's my preparation or lack thereof.
Wow.
Comedy's weird.
Comedy is weird.
But comedy competitions are weird too.
They can be.
Being honest. I mean, yeah. They're legit. And this one is really awesome. But that's a tough thing. After you get through certain levels of comedy, you're like, how in the world am I going to figure out which of these comics is, air quotes, better?
Mm-hmm. And also, depending on the comedy competition, there's some amazing ones out there.
Yeah.
And then there's some other ones people are like, yeah. But
we've been affiliated with some here.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that there are people that did not place in that competition that you've put on as a headliner.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know that they were arguably the best comic
on the stage,
on the lineup. It's
with
just
the most experience.
It's the night, the judges, how they're doing stuff. It's so I think another thing of comedy competitions is you just have to see it for what it is. It's fun. You appreciate mm-hmm. them for promoting comedy. This is not me bashing comedy competitions.
No.
I think it promotes comedy. I think it's fun. But I think that's the place to put it in. I don't think...
It also promotes you.
Yeah.
You know, there have been plenty of people that haven't ever seen you before.
That's right.
That could be the first time someone sees you.
Yeah, it did that. Yeah, mm-hmm. to some people in a bigger market than here, what we usually play, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what else is a winner?
What's that?
Our sponsor, Pre-Popsterous. Our sponsor, Pre-Popsterous, Shenandoah Valley's only award-winning popcorn.
You're preaching to the choir there. This, I'm not joking.
It's so good.
This is my favorite popcorn.
It is.
I destroy. We get Pre-Popsterous popcorn.
It never lasts a night.
Like we... Don gets some for the show because they're sponsoring it. Mm-hmm. But we legitimately buy it mm-hmm. because we love it. And mm-hmm. whenever we get it, it lasts approximately 6 hours.
Or less.
We get a big tub. It's
yeah.
gone.
It's gone. Three different flavors.
I don't even pretend anymore. I just know it's going to be gone.
We just own it.
Yeah. I used to be like, oh, no, this time we'll let this last a week or something.
Well,
it's gone.
No.
And this... Cheddar ranch. That's right.
That's right. We're eating cheddar ranch. It's, I know. I gave him a couple of choices, laughters.
Now with extra crack.
I gave him a couple of extra choices, laughers, and you know me. It was the cheddar ranch for him, for sure.
Mm.
Their kernels, laughers, are grown right here in the Shenandoah Valley. Their factory is 100% nut free, and there are no nuts anywhere in their factory or production process. Plus, it's great for any gifting occasion, perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, or literally anything that comes up. Pre-Popsterous offers our laughers a discount. Just use promo code LAUGH15 to get your discount when you visit prepopsterous.com. And you can munch on a variety of their delicious flavors when you pick some up today. That's a 15% discount, laughers. That's nothing to sneeze at, I'll tell
you that.
Not
at all.
Mm-mm.
If you like buying food items that you can't stop eating, this is your jam.
Plus, a little fun fact, our little puppy Bruno.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bruno should be.
I should take a little film of him eating Pre-Popsterous popcorn because he won't eat any other kind of popcorn, just Pre-Popsterous.
Yeah. He begs for normal popcorn, then you give it to him and he doesn't eat it.
Yeah, because he can tell the difference. So he
spits it out. For Pop-Sirus, he goes ham.
Yes, he does. Oh.
I don't know why I just said goes ham. I never say that.
I think it's a dated thing.
I think it's like a young person term, but like a dated. I don't think they even say
that
anymore.
What does it even mean?
I think it means go crazy. I could have just used it inappropriate, like wrong too. So I'm sorry to everybody basically on that one.
Perfect segue, I think, into the next question. What role does humor play in your life outside of comedy? Do you find yourself naturally making people laugh in everyday situations?
Yeah, I've always, that's always been important to me. Again, I feel like I'm at a shrink's office, but honestly, I have loved doing that for a very long time, mm-hmm. ever since I was a kid.
Very natural.
I think it helped me overcome a lot of insecurity. So I realized if I could make people laugh, that would break the ice. You know, I could talk to people easier, vice versa. Whether that was real or imagined, I don't know. But as a result, I've just always done that. Like, I just always enjoyed making people laugh. And I think part of it is insecurity, but part of it is it's fun to do that.
It is so fun.
It's really just legitimate fun to do that. It doesn't have to all be coming out of a broken place or something. It's a lot of joy when you are laughing with someone else. That's a joyful experience. Mm-hmm. That's why performing comedy is addicting, because yes. Now it's not just you and two friends. It's like you and, you
a
know,
whole
100,
room,
you know,
of yeah, new
room,
friends.
Room of people, and yes. You're all sharing it. And it's just like, what just happened? That was amazing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've always enjoyed that. I've always enjoyed making my family members laugh. I always enjoyed making my friends laugh. I've always enjoyed making students laugh in the class.
Yes, you have.
So
they'll even comment on your evaluations at the end of the semester and make comments about that.
Yeah.
Or when we see them.
That came out of an insecure place too. When I was first starting teaching, I just was so nervous and how do I usually break that tension? Humor. So I would try to make in times where I could tell that the class was getting bored or whatever, you know, I'd try to make a joke or make that, you know. And also it's funner to just keep it, you know, now I still do that. I've been at it long enough to know, like, they're students. They're going to get bored. You know, I mean, we got work to do. They're going to be bored at times. So,
days. So
it's not the end of the world when, you know, there's silence or boredom or kids falling asleep. That's fine. That doesn't rattle me anymore. But I also know that, you know, humor, especially if it's coming from just a natural place, you know, it enlivens the class. It kind of gets them present again. It gets them to pay attention. All that stuff. So yeah, I've used that as part of my toolbox as a teacher for a long time.
That's how we connected. We met at work.
Yeah, right away. We both
friends first and laughed a lot.
Yeah.
And we started dating.
That's exactly right.
You kept telling me that's one of your favorite things to do is
make you laugh. Our first date, I told you a story about our friend Beth Risden. And you laugh just like you're laughing right now. And I was like, I want to make this woman laugh for several years more.
And it's been something that's been a big part of our family.
Yeah.
We talk in our comedy sometimes about our son who ended up in the NFL. And if he ever decided to do this,
he's very funny. We always enjoy comedy as a family.
Yes, yes. He would do very well.
Because he appreciates it.
Yes.
He's watched comedy with us ever since he was a kid. And
yeah. He's a natural also.
Yep.
And cutting people up and cracking people up all the time.
Yeah. He has a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm.
Yep. X2 Comedy seems like a fantastic platform, if I may say so myself.
Wow.
But truly, it really is in more ways than the caliber of performance that is consistent, but also because of the audiences that truly come out consistently to support what we're doing and helping comedy grow in the Shenandoah Valley by their support, which we completely appreciate. They're the reason it's truly fantastic. How did you become involved with X2 Comedy? We talked about it a little bit earlier, but I'd like to talk about your growth in being involved in X2 Comedy and what opportunities it has provided for you and your comedy career.
I mean, it's provided every opportunity in my comedy career. I wouldn't be doing comedy. Mm-hmm. It was like I said earlier, I did a open mic and I thought that was check it off the bucket list. We're done. So I wouldn't be doing comedy if you wouldn't have asked me, hey, do you want to be on the next X2 show on the heels of that? So it's been my comedy platform. And then, you know, so I started doing my what did we have, like 3 or 4 months of me just getting up and doing my same 5 minutes over and over. I don't even remember how long that was. And I started writing.
A couple months.
That inspired me to start writing new material. I don't know. Pretty early, you got me to host. I'm looking back on that. That was a bold move on your part. I didn't have much material. And you got to think on your feet as a host.
But
and
you got, do well at that.
No, thank you. But that was, looking back, I'm like, I wouldn't have done that. But I was too dumb to know it was a, you know, anything but awesome. Hosting, I do love hosting, by the way.
You're really good at it.
You know that. I really like it. I like connecting with the crowd early. I like being, you know. You know, I've gone from just doing sort of a, here's a guy going to do 5 minutes before we bring some real comics up. I've gone from that to you had me host some, to you having me feature some, to you having me feature longer. And then that's provided opportunities for other shows where I've gone even longer. And it's cool to see my number of minutes that I can do confidently go up over the last couple of years. And
yeah, I'm starting to grow faster, which is exciting.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like, you know, added 5 minutes in like 2 weeks at the tail end of the summer because of the work we put in this summer. And and it was just like, oh my gosh, this is kind of growing exponentially, which is fun. So, I love X2 Comedy, brings such a positive vibe, and the crowd attaches to that. And the, you know, I just know other comics when they come in from out of town, they just,
they love it.
Clearly
have
a good
them.
Time and we have a good time hanging with them. I just love the whole thing. It's just such a great experience overall.
Really is. Comedy often involves addressing various topics, including sensitive ones. How do you navigate potentially controversial subjects while ensuring your comedy remains entertaining and respectful?
Oh, wow. What a good question. It's probably a better question for a different comedian than me. You know, I just write about what I think is funny. And I guess as it happens, for whatever reason, my stuff's not really that controversial, you know? So I write down, I have funny thoughts, funny ideas. You and I will be having a conversation, or me and my friend will be having a conversation, and I'll think of something, or we'll be laughing about something like, oh, that would work. And
or I'm or even yelling, you write that
down. Yeah. You're like, you know, you're the leader in the house in terms of like, we're laughing, so write it down. So it's just my content just shakes out the way it shakes out.
Right.
I'm not really that interested in politics. Matter of fact, if I have a passionate political position, I think it's really stupid to have your entire identity be wrapped up in a political party. I think that's insane. There you go. There's my controversial take. It's not a bit. but that just, I say that so strongly just to indicate a guy who thinks like that is not really going to go out of his way to do a hard-hitting joke coming from one political side or another. I do have like two political jokes, as you know.
Yes.
But they're both almost taking a look at the absurdity of getting wrapped up in it.
True. Yes.
So
I agree with that.
And so I found that everybody can get behind it. And honestly, one of my political jokes and come to a show, but basically it has to do with presidents from this century playing golf.
Yes.
And
it's fabulous.
Well, thank you. Yes, it is one of my favorite jokes.
It's one of the audience's favorites too.
And what I've noticed, I've done that joke in front of a lot of different audiences.
Yes.
Audiences that wouldn't surprise me if they had a MAGA hat in their truck.
Right.
And audiences that I'm sure, you know, have a vote for Hillary sticker still on their car.
Right.
I've had both. And the fun part about that joke is I feel like everybody
on both sides of the aisle
thinks I'm bagging on the other team when I do it because I'm touching them all.
Yeah.
And I think they mainly pay attention to the ones they want to pay attention to in a way in that joke. I might be wrong about that.
Yeah.
But so I really don't have a lot that's that controversial.
Right.
I don't think.
Not really.
Yeah. So, and that's just the way it's shaken out. I do stuff that's, and the times that I have tried out bits that might be a little bit more risky, I've tried them at open mics and they really don't seem to go well. I just don't think my personality, stage persona goes with that too well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not me shying away from it. If it's funny, I'll do it. I think that's what comedy is, our last vestige of just relaxing, mm-hmm. not getting uptight and just laughing about how absurd
life
can be, you yes. know, and politics is definitely part of that. So I actually love some comedians who take a lot of risks, but whenever I've tried it, it just doesn't seem to go over as well for me. So I think I just give off a dad joke vibe. I don't know.
Exactly.
Cynical dad joke vibe.
Yeah,
I don't know,
there you maybe. Go.
Yeah.
Witty, dry, sarcastic humor.
Yeah, so that's an excellent question, but
Yeah. I'm curious about what you think some of your memorable moments or experiences have been from your journey so far as a comedian, both on and off the stage.
On stage... on stage, I've got just these milepost moments where I feel like it's almost like, you know, God's way of tapping me on the shoulder and saying, hey, remember this. You just learned something.
Aww,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's my first open mic and just standing up there and people laughing about stuff I'm saying was like, what is this? What kind of cocktail is this and where can I get more? You know, then I remember one of the early shows you put me up on.
Yeah.
I did a joke. I don't remember which one it was. And I had to pause because this lady in the audience was laughing really loud for a long time. I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on?
Yeah.
You know, because you're so used to doing your early on in comedy, you typically deliver your sets like a speech.
Mm-hmm. Until you start getting used to,
you know, so you're used to certain timing and everything and you're not loose. And so she's doing that. I was like, wow, that's cool. You know? And then I remember you and I went up to the Electric Palm
in
Woodbridge. Shout out to Dwayne White, one of our favorite comics. And he runs a great room up there.
He's a headliner. And he's funny.
He has shows up there, by the way, if you're in Woodbridge, he has shows up there and open mics, you know, regularly. And he does a great job. I cannot think of anybody doing like shows and open mics, you know, on that kind of level that he's incredible. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. And that's Woodbridge, Virginia for laughers who may not be around this
area. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I remember the first time we went up there and because it's new and because we're going up to a bigger market, you know, that kind of thing, we were a little bit nervous, but I felt like both of us just at some point was like, who cares?
Let's just have
fun.
We
are 2 hours outside of town. These people do not know us. Dwayne does, but that's it.
Yeah.
Let's just have some fun. So it was almost like that feeling I got before the comedy competition.
Right.
Like there is no way I'm winning this. So there's also no way I'm losing it because
that's exactly
I don't care.
What we thought. We were just like, what?
Yeah.
Let's just go.
So I just loosened up and it rocked.
It was a great night for both of us
and we learned something there. Then I remember going to Big Lick Brewery. Shout out to Johnny Camacho.
Yeah, Johnny Camacho. I love that name.
Again, an open mic. All of my highlights are open mics, by the way.
But it's training ground for comics. That's where you work out the new material. Yep. You punch up older material. Yep. You're figuring out... Yeah. Tags, which is extra punchlines, all those things.
Yeah, and it was one of my first open mics in a long time that I had just decided, well, I'm going to go with some tried and true material. I wasn't trying out new stuff because as you get more experience, most of the time in an open mic, you're trying out a lot of new stuff. So I did older stuff and it killed. And I was like, oh yeah. You know, I'm so used to feeling like I'm not funny at open mics because I was trying new stuff. And then I like brought out old, all 5 minutes was old stuff that I knew worked and it went great. But then X2 shows, I'm going to miss something, but the Cross Keys show Joel Byers and Winston Hodges, that was insane. That was early. I was only like 4 months into comedy, I think. But just to be on, it was so good. Oh. Everybody was so good. And the crowd was so good. That just felt like, wow, is this really what this is like? Can this feel like this when I do comedy?
One of the amazing things. That was insane.
Cave Comedy Fest has always been
incredible.
Amazing. A lot of the Court Square shows, which has been, Court Square crowd is always just fantastic. Broadway.
Ah, Beards and Broads.
Beards and Broads and Broadway. I could literally, I say it to the crowd and it sounds like I'm just being like a suck up comic, you know, to thank them. I could go out there every weekend and do comedy for those people, that crowd.
That's a great group of people.
Shout out to Broadway, Virginia.
Indeed.
If they come out. Fill that room.
Yeah.
And they are ready to laugh.
Yes.
And if you're not funny, they'll help you. They are so amazing. They're appreciative. I can't say enough about them, clearly.
Yeah.
So those are just a lot of my highlights of being on. I know I took longer than you intended for the question and I only did half of it, which those are the, I don't know, you know, off the stage, just the process of writing, which has its ups and downs and challenges, but then coming through with something that works is so incredible because when it does, it's like, I thought of that.
Yeah.
I thought of that one day when I was watching football and I wrote it down in a bleeping tattered notebook.
Yeah.
And here I am delivering it and it's making people laugh. That's so cool. There's not, I mean, just making people laugh is fun enough.
But it is. It's
something
a gift.
Coming out of your head that you developed. It's the only time I've ever really known what artists must feel like in any avenue of art.
Mm.
You know? It's like, wow. That kind of arose from something in me, but it wasn't even like some calculated thing. It just kind of bubbled out of me and I massaged it and here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. That's too cool. And then I can't say enough about how cool it's been to do the whole journey with you.
Mm.
You know, we're empty nesters.
Yeah.
And this is like this unifying thing we do.
It is.
As a team.
Yeah.
And that's been cool, if I could say so, if I could suck up to you for a minute.
It has been a lot of fun. And we haven't exactly had, we've had a tough season the last couple of years, to say the least, personally, off stage, and comedy has been a reprieve, a respite from some difficult times for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would uplift us and, you know, break a tense moment. And And I think it's a great avenue or outlet for people and couples that may be going through something, get a ticket to a comedy show, go laugh a little bit.
Yeah. Or each person in the couple develops a 5-minute set and they deliver it to each other. There you go. There's the new couples therapy for the 21st
That's
century.
That's right. Or they can take one of our comedy classes.
Oh, bingo. You don't even have to develop. There you go. There's a segue.
Yeah.
Starting in October.
October 10th.
X2 comedy classes.
Yes.
Tuesday nights.
Yes. At the Perch.
At the Perch.
Yes. And if that's like, I don't know about that, then you can come support the graduates at the showcase.
That's
November 14th at the new loft above Liberty Mercantile in Harrisonburg. And that's an event space above the new Liberty Mercantile, which is across from Magpie Diner. So there are lots of options.
Good bacon at Magpie Diner too.
Lots of good food.
That's a freebie, Magpie.
That is excellent food over there.
It is.
Just saying. I want to ask you, as a seasoned comedian and professor, well, you're getting to become seasoned. I mean, you're
I'm a seasoned professor. I'm not a seasoned comic, but yes, continue.
I'm speaking over it. How about that?
That's it. I love it.
What advice do you have for individuals who aspire to pursue their passions alongside their careers?
Oh, wow. What a great question. I'm not so sure I'm equipped to answer that one either. Just try to get a little bit. The career is the career, right?
Right.
You've probably been doing it a while. You know the ins and outs. That's great. Okay. So really the question is, if I'm hearing you right, I've got this passion to do whatever, mm-hmm. music, comedy, painting, blah, blah, you know, mm-hmm. And I really love it and I really want it. I think the biggest thing for me is, to really check myself whenever this gets not fun. Mm-hmm. And when I've noticed when it gets not fun is when I'm turning the comedy into another job.
Yes.
And notice I said, I am, mm-hmm. because it's about attitude. Mm-hmm. Like I could do a comedy show all day with the right, every day for, with the right attitude. But if I start turning it into, okay, by the end of this week, I need 5 more minutes. And my goal is by the end of November, I'm going to have a 45 minute set all ready to go. That's great. And I'm not downplaying goals. But you can really kill yourself with that. In my experience, it's like, why don't I get a little bit better this mm-hmm. week? Why don't I get a little bit better? What can I do to get better this week? Oh, I can go, we have an open mic this week. I can work on this bit. Oh, good. We have basement comics. I can work on this bit. You know, I've had people, other comics around here, you know, freak out because somewhere there's a DC or New York comic that's getting up 7 nights a week and, you know, actually they're getting up 12 times in the week and they're getting so much. You can't think about that guy because you're not that guy.
Not that guy, I mean, nor do you live in that geographical area where there's that.
It's like, well, they're going to be so much more ahead of me. Maybe. I don't know, but I certainly can't work. So it's kind of the old thing, control what you can control. Mm-hmm. And so what can I do from Harrisonburg this week myself to be a better comic? That and not compare myself to other comics in any way, shape, or form. Not compare myself to a fictional person or a real person in a major market that gets up 12 times a week. Not even compare myself to other comics around here. I've literally sat at open mics before going like, oh, I want to be the best comic here, but I'm not. I don't think tonight. Maybe I am. I don't know. Let's see what this guy does. That'll drive you absolutely bat mm-hmm. crap crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's not fun. Mm-mm. And when you let that go, you're supportive and happy for your fellow comics. Yes. I want all to succeed.
I want the
local comics here to blow doors.
Yeah.
And the second I start thinking like, oh, I want to be better than that person, that also implies I want that person to suck. Mm-hmm. You know? So just letting go of that stuff so it doesn't feel like an extra job to me. And I know that runs so counter to what people are saying. It's like, no, you know, how do you balance it? Well, you got to gut it out and you got to drive to, you know, DC 5 times a week and you got to, hey man, there are people doing that and hats off. And I'm not saying they're going about it wrong, but I'm saying for me and my personal sanity, I do what I can and I try to get better. And in my opinion, I have continued to get better. So maybe my process is slower than a big city comic. Probably is. I don't honestly care because I can't do much about it at the moment.
Right.
So there it is.
Taking the next step that you can.
That's it.
What is right before you.
What's right ahead of you.
I like that advice.
Or we can cry about not living in... Actually, I don't regret not living in New York. No. Sorry. There's my controversial take. I do more controversial takes on a podcast than I do in my sets.
But, not a city slicker this one.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's for sure. How has your approach to comedy evolved since you started in 2021? Has there been any significant lessons or insights along the way?
Yes. Well, this is going to sound counter to what I just said. When I started, like many comics, I thought it was all about, you know, delivering the right words in the right tempo in the right way with the right timing. Mm-hmm. And all those things are important. But the better sets that I've done have been the more relaxed and real. And the audience feels that and really making a connection with the audience. It's not some transaction where if I say the magic words, you laugh.
Right.
It's a blown up cocktail party.
Yeah, that's true.
Where, hey man, how good is this? It's a cocktail party, but all 100 people are looking at me. And, you know, and so the more I truly make a connection, the more they can feel that, the more I'm relating in some way. And I can't even describe what that, there's not a method to that, I don't think, per se. I think it's an attitude as well. The more that comes across and the better everything goes for both of us. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, it doesn't matter if you slip up a word or two, right, or if you stutter or if you whatever, because that's what people do.
Right.
Yeah. And you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it, about saying, you know, this joke, did I say, but actually, or well, actually, the last time I did that, you know, you don't have to exactly worry about crap like that. And so it's just coming out real. And that's what people like. Like, people think that a lot of headline comics are just getting up there, grabbing the mic and talking off the top of their head. And of course they're not.
That's what I thought before I took comedy classes when I started. I just thought they went out there and rolled things right off their tongue.
Yeah. But why do
a lot more to it than that.
Yeah. Why do they look like that? Because they're so natural. They're so easy with it. And that's how it's done, man. So that's the biggest thing I've learned, you know, I think but I'm learning all the time. I've learned that I don't know crap and I still don't know
crap. There is a lot to learn.
Those are just the latest things I've learned. I'm very new at this. I've learned that comedy takes a long time to get good at.
Right.
So yeah, I've also learned that I know that I don't know.
Yes. I will say I've done a lot of things in my own life, as you know, over the 2.5 decades that we've known each other. This has by far been, even with its challenges, the funnest job I've ever had.
Yeah, I can see why.
Yeah. I just really enjoy the challenge of it.
Yeah.
As well as the fun parts and the amazing nights, the whole package is very unique journey.
It's a ride.
Yeah. It is. It will challenge you as a person too,
because
you can, as you were alluding to earlier, you can get spiraled into negative self-talk and the comparison game, and learning how to not do that is a very valuable way to live as a being and a loving person and healthier way.
Yeah.
Of having relationship with yourself as well as other people.
Yep.
I think that's been really powerful in my own personal growth to be a comic.
Yeah, that's 100% agree.
Yeah, it's something. So finally, because I have a couple of wrap-up questions here, but the first one is, what's next on the horizon for Chris Womack? Are there any exciting projects, shows, or goals you'd like to share with our laughers?
I mean, shows, you tell me. You're my producer.
I'm your booker. I'm your manager.
You tell me where I'm going, man.
We got some cool things in the pike.
I would I don't have a timeline for this goal really, but, you know, now that I've gone up for as many as like, you know, 20 minutes, and the amount of material I'm able to add to that is increasing exponentially. Headlining anything would be amazing. Headlining some kid's bar mitzvah. I don't care. The auto show. I just think that next step would be really fun.
Yeah.
And I mean real headlining.
Right.
You know, I've been asked to do private shows, you know, where I do what, 10 to 15 minutes of I've done, you know, for those. And those were great, by the way. That I'm not saying, oh, those suck, so I'm not counting them. I just mean, you know, a real comedy show.
Yeah.
You come, there's a host, 30, there's an opener.
Minutes,
yeah. I do at least 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's the show.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, what I tell myself every time when I'm, especially when I'm a host, my job is to get these people ready for that person.
Right.
The headliner, because
we're all setting the pins.
That's who they remember.
Yeah.
Oh, we went to the comedy show. Oh, it was great. The guy was great, or the girl was great.
Yes.
You know, they might remember like, oh yeah, that guy who was hosting, he was kind of funny too.
I think he teaches at JMU. I think he teaches at
JMU. Yeah, that was fun. You know, and yeah, maybe if we have family or friends or some of my students come to the show, they remember what we did. But, and I have no problem with that, by the way. I know my job.
Right.
But how cool would it be to advance to where you're the show?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. I haven't had that feeling, and I just see those people who are good at that. And I'm like, that's, by the way, that's another gear too.
It is another gear.
You know, I'm starting to touch it a little bit by doing stuff like, you know, I did a 20-minute set this summer.
Yes.
Kind of sort of headlining. It was more of a showcase show, so I'm not, you know, and it was great. Shout out to Keaton. Thank you for putting me up on that.
Keaton, right.
And so that was great. And that got me a taste. Actually, Keaton's show was another comedy highlight that just got me a taste. Like,
you did great.
Hey man, I can do a 20-minute set, be relaxed, not worry about remembering all my stuff. I can't wait to expand that. So that's my goal, such as it is.
Yeah, that's coming, Chris.
So hook me up.
It's coming, Chris Womack. I can promise you that. Well, as we wrap up here, how best can the laughers follow you on social media or otherwise to connect with you and get more information?
On social media, the only way of getting in touch with, well, following me is also following you.
Yes.
Go to our website, funnywomax.com.
TheFunnyWomax.com.
We're also on Facebook as The Funny Womax and on Instagram as The Funny Womax. I do not have a personal social media. So I'm not even telling you, like, don't bother me on my personal social, because it doesn't exist. I am absent from social media, which is, I'm sorry if that's coming off as kind of a flex. That's like the new way, you know, that's the 21st century way of saying, like, back in the day when people used to say, like, oh, I don't watch television, I read books. It's kind of the modern day thing of doing that. Like, oh, I'm not on social media, but I'm really not. And I don't suffer from it. I was actually an early adopter of social media for our generation, relatively speaking. I think I got a Facebook account because I could. In 2008, because back then you had to have a .edu account.
Oh yeah,
to sign up. So I could. So I did. So I was early to the party, but early to leave.
And how do you feel about that?
Excellent. I do not miss it a shred. God bless everybody out there enjoying their social media. No problems for me. I'm not trying to shame anybody, but I don't miss it a shred.
So laughers, you know what that means, who's also managing the social media.
Yeah, you're going to be interacting with her.
But I can pass the message
directly
to you and connect people that want to connect with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, laughers, we'll put that information for you in the show notes. Plus, we'll also have for you in the show notes that discount promo code LAUGH15 so you can buy the delicious gourmet popcorn at prepopsterous.com. That's PREPOPSTEROUS.com. And I highly recommend it.
As do I.
Thank you for coming on the show, Chris. This has been super fun chatting up all things about your comedy journey today, at least where you are thus far. It's exciting to see what's next for you. And laughers, you can listen to some of Chris's comedy and check out where you can find where he is going to perform next. Our new website, thefunnywomax.com. That's Womax, W-O-M as in mom, A-C-K-S.com. And then don't forget to snag that discount on Prepopsterous using promo code LAUGH15 at prepopsterous.com so you can munch on it when you join me on next week's episode. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.